With the first pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And here we go.
NFP, this is Wes Bunning, the director of college scouting here at the National Football Post, and you are listening to another take of Draft Talk. This is version 8.0, and our special guest this week, another good guy, Sean Zobel, the founder of Draft Headquarters. Sean, thanks for joining me, man. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me, Wes. Doing great.
Not a problem. And you're lucky enough, Sean, to be on the week that the greatest college football game of all time, which was some people were calling it, up until 9 points and 6 points were scored respectively on both sides, went off. But anyway, we're going to talk some prospects from LSU, Bama this weekend, and we're going to start with Alabama running back Trent Richardson. I just kind of refer to him as the man-child, Sean, but we'll let you take the line first. Thoughts on Trent Richardson, not only from this game, but as a prospect of as a whole?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you take a look at what he was able to do against arguably one of the best defenses in college football, 23 carries for 89 yards. He averaged about 4 yards a carry. You know, with Trent Richardson, you're getting the type of back who's going to give you the consistency and the reliability to pound the ball between the tackles. He excels as a between-the-tackles runner. He can shoulder the load, obviously, which he's done for the Crimson Tide. You know, over the course of the season, he's averaging over 6 yards a carry, 17 touchdowns. He's also a reliable receiver out of the backfield. He's got 23 catches for almost 300 yards this year. You know, the thing with Trent, he's not going to be an explosive type of back in the mold of Darren McFadden where he blows by everybody. However, he's one of the best backs in the country, if not the best back in the country, at picking up yards after contact and really having some of the best leg drive that I've seen in the past few years, which is why I think, you know, so many scouts are really in love with him this year.
Yeah, a couple things you brought up, and that I think he really improved his game from last year to this year. And it was nice watching him last year and comparing him not only as an athlete, but as a natural runner with Mark Ingram. But some things I've seen, one, you mentioned his ability to catch the football, and not only initially in the flat, but also down the field. I thought he did that pretty well a couple times against LSU. His ability to make defenders miss in the open field. I agree 100%. He's got a great feel between the tackles, and I think his patience and his overall feel inside has really improved as well. But his ability, there was one play, I like Brandon Taylor, the safety from LSU, but he made him whiff in the open field. He made the other safety whiff in the open field. And for a big guy with his combination of size and speed to showcase some nimbleness in the open field and his ability to accelerate quickly and press that daylight, for a big back of his size, I think those are three areas that have really stuck out to me, because we know that the guy, he's going to physically create collisions inside and create yards after contact.
Without a doubt. You know, I personally think, you know, you brought up the patience, and I think that's by far one of his greatest strengths to his overall game. And he almost makes it look easy being able to, you know, hide behind his offensive line a bit, but his ability to accelerate through the line once he allows for his blockers to develop and, you know, take advantage of the great offensive line that he's running behind. He's, in addition to being a natural runner, he has the type of instincts that you hope a running back has, and that he understands the strength of allowing for a play to develop before trying to, you know, explode through the line. And the greatest thing with Trent is that he understands, you know, if I can let my left side of my offensive line, which is one of the best in football, get some blocks developed first and then follow them behind, you know, that's going to help me out better. And I think that that's one of the most underrated points of his game, is that he understands how to run the football and allow for his blocks to develop. And in the NFL, when you have that type of instincts out of a running back, I think that it's really going to help, because not all running backs have that type of natural ability to, you know, understand the football aspect of the game in terms of allowing for the blocks to develop first.
And that's what something to me, Sean, and I don't know if you saw it differently last year, but and maybe it was comparing him to Mark Ingram, who I thought was an extremely natural runner, a great feel inside. Obviously not the size speed type athlete, but I thought this guy had a great feel between the tackles, picking his way through tight areas. Yeah, they like to say playing in a phone booth. I thought Ingram did that extremely well. And then when I watched Richardson, I saw a guy who pressed the hole quickly but didn't have that same type of patience last year. This year, I see a guy, and usually with running backs, they either have it or they don't, but this guy really seems like he has a much better feel compared to last year, and I don't know what work he's put in. I don't know if the game's just simply slowing down for him at this stage, but that's the one thing that's really impressed me. And the running back position is a stopwatch position. Guys that run fast, they're the ones that get drafted high. Obviously, we have guys that slip through the cracks, but if you want to get drafted high, typically you have to run pretty well. You look at Ryan Matthews from San Diego, Darren McFadden, who you brought up earlier. These are the guys that they run fast, they get drafted high. Mark Ingram runs 4.6, goes late in the first round. With Trent Richardson, I think we get a guy, the best of both worlds. We get the size-speed guy with the natural running ability. And in my opinion, I think this guy's up there with potentially the best running back prospect we've seen since Adrian Peterson.
You know, that wouldn't really surprise me. I agree with you that he's by far one of the best running backs we've seen in the last 5 years. He's a different type of runner than the type that we've seen in the past few years, which is why I think the evaluation of him is going to be a little different. He's not Adrian Peterson by any means, obviously. Nobody will be. But he's obviously not Darren McFadden, which we already talked about, and he's also different than guys that we've seen in the past, like Ryan Matthews and Mark Ingram. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's hard to compare him to somebody because, in my opinion, he looks more like a more elusive and agile Maurice Jones-Drew than anything. And because of his ability to really carry defenders through the hole and pick up the yards after contact, he's probably better than any running back that we've seen since Adrian Peterson at picking up yards after contact, which is why I do agree with you on that. And because he's different than every other back, I think it makes it a little more difficult to say, well, this guy's better than this guy. But in terms of a natural ability to carry the ball consistently between the tackles as a workhorse back, I think that he very easily could be the top running back prospect, and by that means since Adrian Peterson.
All right, Sean. Last thing on Trent Richardson. Biggest concern you have with this big guy at the next level?
You know, there's only one that really stuck out to me when I was watching the LSU game on Saturday night, and it's the ability to create something out of nothing, or his ability to create on his own. And there were two plays in particular where Trent got bottled up behind the line of scrimmage by some LSU defenders, and I was really waiting for him to be able to show the ability to sidestep a defender and, you know, be able to create something out of nothing, whether it's a 1 or 2 yard gain, that's better than obviously a loss of -3 or -4. And he never really showed that to me. And, you know, the one thing I'd like to see him be able to work on is once he gets bottled up behind the line, be able to bounce it to the outside and make something happen out of nothing. And he shows that every once in a while, but not consistently enough, in my opinion, where you can consider it a strength in his game. And while there aren't too many weaknesses in his overall game as a running back, I think that's still one thing that he could definitely still stand and work on.
Mm-hmm. The thing that worries the most about me, and this is more long-term, but that physical, aggressive running style where he's consistently finishing. I worry about the shelf life. I worry about his body. I think he's going to be productive for 5, 6, 7 years in the NFL. Big thing, though, much like Eddie George, where you hit this wall pretty early or earlier than some people think. I think if you pound this guy with the running style that he has over the course, you give this guy 300-plus carries 5, 6, 7 years in a row, I think he's going to end up having a little shorter of a shelf life than some of these other quarterbacks with a lesser load, with a less aggressive running style. But either way, Sean, I think this guy's going to be a pretty good NFL back early in his NFL career, no matter when he comes out.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. And, you know, part of the thing with that shelf life is that if you're a team thinking about taking a running back and you need a running back and you draft Trent Richardson, you're well aware of the fact that he's going to be taking a pounding for you. If I'm drafting him with a first-round pick, there's no doubt in my mind I'm handing him the ball 25 times a game, because at this point, if you're going to take a running back that high, he's got to be a staple of your offense. And in especially this time of, I guess, the way that offenses are developing, you can find running backs late in the draft. There's no doubt about that. And in my opinion, if you're going to draft somebody that high, you got to be willing to assume that you're going to run this guy into the ground, and if he only plays 5, 6, 7 years for you, you're fine with that. And if you do draft him, that's the type of mentality that you have to have. And in my opinion, with Trent Richardson, he's the type of running back that you can count on to be able to shoulder the load 25 to 30 times a game like Frank Gore can. You know, with Frank Gore, obviously his durability is not a strength of his, but being able to shoulder the load, run the ball between the tackles, be counted on to get the job done as a workhorse, that's the biggest thing that I think Trent Richardson is going to be able to bring to the table for an offense, is the consistency and reliability to get the job done between the tackles, which is one thing that a lot of teams, especially this year, haven't been able to find with their running game, which is why I think Trent could be an attractive prospect for several teams out there.
Yeah, no doubt. If I'm drafting this guy, top 15, top 10, I'm riding him like a rented mule, to be honest, for the next 5 years. But moving on, Sean, we're going to talk a little corners now, and we're going to start with Alabama's Drake Kirkpatrick. Big guy, long-arm kid, can play some press, does a heck of a job tackling the ball carrier as well, and has got a pretty good field and coverage. But we'll throw it to you first. Things you like, dislike, and Drake Kirkpatrick overall as a prospect.
You know, you got to like his size. You talk about the long arms. He's 6'3", about 190, 195 pounds. Mm-hmm. His physical nature is extremely impressive. I've been more impressed with his ability to make plays in the run game and just has that physical mentality that you simply can't teach. He's got that kind of that it factor that you look for in defensive backs, where it's a little bit like an Ed Reed or a Troy Polamalu, a type of natural instinct where if something's coming in front of me, I'm going to hit it no matter what it's doing. And that's what the type of mentality that he brings to the table, whether it's a sweep outside coming in his direction or somebody running a 5 to 10 yard hitch in front of him, he's going to make you pay for trying to run at him. And that's the biggest thing that I've taken away from him this season. Yes, he has been beaten deep, and that's the biggest problem with Dre, is that he likes to take some risks, and because of that, he'll give up some big plays. On the other hand, when he takes some of those risks, he'll be able to make some big plays for you as well. And he's a playmaker at cornerback, there's no doubt about that. The problem is he's still a little bit raw, a little bit inexperienced. I think he's still going to need, I think when you compare him to cornerbacks that have come out the past few years, I like to look at Joe Hayden. You know, Joe Hayden out of Florida would be a good comparison because as a fellow junior, Joe came out and he was able to develop quickly and use his natural instincts to take over as a starting cornerback for Cleveland. And I think with Dre, if he can land with the right team and use his natural instincts to his advantage, I think that he could end up being a very good cornerback for a team. It just really depends on the type of situation.
Yeah, when I watch Kirkpatrick, the one thing, you talk about the natural, God-given athletic ability. He's got those long, ridiculous arms that he can play and press man. He's got the ability to absolutely manhandle receivers off the line. And once he gets those hands on you, the battle's over. But when I evaluate corners as a whole, the one attribute I always look for is balance. How balanced do they stay, not only in their drop, but into contact, in and out of their breaks, when their ability to turn and run and transition. And that's the one thing. You see him at times not being very patient off the line and press man. You talked about the technique. The weight will roll onto his toes. He'll get overextended, and he can get stroked pretty easily at times. And you don't see that dynamic initial explosion for him to make up for a false step. He's better off in space as he is in tight areas when trying to cover. If he doesn't get his hands on you, that's where I worry. Now, obviously, there's been corners that you develop with time with this. And when you're that physically talented at the college level, you don't have to pay great attention to overall technique. But overall balance, we saw it again when he had the pass interference. He was tasseling with Reuben Randall. I think Randall was about to have a step, and he just chucked him inside, or chucked his body, was able to gain inside leverage, but threw him out of the way in the process. And I think just being able to play a little lower, be a little more functional in the lower half, driving on balls, just the balance as a whole, Sean, is the biggest thing. And you get that with a lot of taller DBs, just getting more comfortable with their frame.
Absolutely. You know, I think you look at Jimmy Smith last year out at Colorado, I think similar to a taller defensive back, that's a similar situation. But, you know, with Dre, it's great that you mentioned his ability to stay balanced. And I think part of that is the overall technique. And when you take a look at, I know you've used the example of, you know, a mold of clay and being able to, you know, coach him up and turn him into a good-looking piece of clay. Dre is a great-looking piece of clay right now in his natural athleticism and his instincts. You've got a heck of a player in the making, but he's not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Once he lands with a team and is able to develop and be coached and improve on his technique and his balance and all of those things that you just mentioned, I think that's where teams are really getting excited about him because of his potential and upside that he brings to the table. And different from a guy like Morris Claiborne, who's more NFL-ready, I think, Dre may have more upside than any defensive back in this draft because of those types of things that we just mentioned.
Yeah, and that's a great point. When you evaluate talent as a whole, we're not trying to figure out where these guys are at right now. It's where can these guys be 2, 3, 4 years down the line, and I agree 100%. Last thing I want to bring up with you, Sean, I'm going to ask you this. A bit scheme limited. I can't see Kirkpatrick holding up overly well in an off-man type scheme. I think he's more, I think he could be okay in a zone scheme, a cover two look, but I want this guy predominantly up near the line, pressing people, rerouting receivers off the line. Does that hurt his stock at all? Or do you think that, you know, press corners, they're such, you know, so many teams want these guys. He's going to go wherever he's going to go regardless.
You know, in my opinion, it really doesn't. I think with his physical nature, playing press is a very valuable commodity to be able to have from a defensive coordinator standpoint. And when you have somebody that can do that, you can't afford to pass on him.
Mm-hmm.
With his physical ability and physical nature, I guess you could say, I also think that playing in a bit of a cover two scheme where he's up playing around the line of scrimmage and really staying in the flats, waiting for somebody to come straight to him, I think that his instinctive ability to come up and hit whatever he sees in front of him also could help him there. So, yeah, he's probably not the best guy at playing off man, but when you consider how good he can be as a press corner, I think that with that potential and upside and where he could be 2, 3, 4 years from now, like you mentioned, it may be a slight downgrade, but not enough to be able to say he's not a guy that we don't want. It may just be he needs a little more work than we first expected.
Yeah, and again, with these big corners and cornerbacks as a whole, we talk about the stopwatch. Where these guys get drafted have so much to do with end up how well they run. Not ultimately how well they end up playing in the NFL, but where they end up getting drafted. Last guy we're going to touch on, Sean, Morris Claiborne, the corner from LSU. You know, honestly, he's a little smaller than Kirkpatrick, but I want to get a measurement of those arms because these guys has, you can just tell watching him how freaky long this guy's arms are. He can play press. He can get out of his breaks well. What has impressed you about Morris Claiborne up to this point?
In my opinion, and I just mentioned, I think he's the most NFL-ready defensive back in this year's draft right now. You could make the argument that maybe Mark Barron is, but at the cornerback position specifically, I think that he's ready to play right now because of his ability to play man coverage, coming off and playing zone, his ability to flip his hips on the fly and run with nearly any receiver in the country. He's been able to prove his dynamic ability to make plays as well. And when I take a look at defensive backs, one of the most important things that I look for is the natural instincts to make a play on the ball. And he's clearly made that impression so far with 4 interceptions and 5 pass breakups through the first 9 games. When you take a look at some of the interceptions that he's made, he's capable of going up and reaching the ball at its highest point. He's capable of making acrobatic plays. He's capable of fighting with the receiver for the ball because he's got those long arms that you just mentioned. When you take a look at all of those things combined, as well as his natural athleticism, which I think is among the best in the country, it's hard not to like the guy. And when he continues to produce week in and week out, I can't help but love him. And I think that he offers everything that you look for in a starting quarterback in the NFL. He may not be quite as tall as you'd like you just mentioned, but I could not be more impressed with him this year. And I think, like you said, with his long arms, he offers some very intriguing talent to the next level in terms of his ability to make plays on the ball as well as play up at the line, playing press coverage as well.
Yeah, I think he's listed, what, at 6 foot, Sean?
Yeah, about 6 foot, 200 pounds right now.
6 foot, 200
pounds. Or no, excuse me, about 190, 185.
Okay, so he's not a small guy by any stretch of the word. And with those long arms, he plays bigger, especially at the line, than his 6 foot frame would lead you to believe. When I watched him last year, I saw more of an athlete than corner, to be honest. This year I saw a guy, the first thing I noticed, especially when he's up near the line, is his ability to sit into his drop much lower, his ability to maintain balance, another key word that we talked about with Kirkpatrick, much better in and out of his breaks, which allowed him to play up to that physical and athletic skill set that he has. When you have a corner with his God-given ability, a lot of times if they get leggy or they struggle with balance, they may run 4-3 on a 40-yard dash, but they play like a 4-5 guy because they're taking false steps and they're trying to collect their feet when trying to get out of their breaks. This is a guy with the improvement in his balance. His burst generated, his explosion generated in and out of his breaks, I thought that was much better this year. And again, you talk about the instincts and the ball skills. When he was able to play much faster this year, you see those ball skills and those instincts, they look even better because he's driving on so many throws. There's a plus natural burst to his game, a plus recovery ability and explosion to his game. And overall, I think this guy can do just about whatever he wants. I think he can play some off man. I think he's better suited to play press. Not as physical as Kirkpatrick in the run game, but overall, I think this is an NFL-ready corner. And just because of the natural cover ability right now, I think Kirkpatrick maybe has a more upside, but I think it's much more of a risk overall. And I think I like this guy a little more as a prospect than Kirkpatrick.
Yeah, I think you're looking at two different types of players in the way that they play the game. Morris is more of a cover guy, and Dre is more of a hit you in the mouth, I'm going to be physical with you type of cornerback. And with Morris, I think that you mentioned his ability to flip his hips, drive out, and stay balanced at the same time. And that's one thing that you rarely are able to see with a complete cornerback prospect is his ability to stay balanced even when he's flipping his hips, turning around, running with the receiver down the field, you know, driving down towards a hitch route. For example, there was a play again in the Alabama game on Saturday night where there was probably a 10 to 15 yard out route. Morris had the guy within 2 yards of him, and he drives on the ball to the point that there was 0% chance that that ball could have been completed without him either breaking the pass up or intercepting it and returning it for a touchdown. And in addition, I know we talked about the natural instincts, but when you combine those type of instincts and ability to make a play on the ball with his natural athleticism and his ability to drive on the ball and stay with the receiver down the field, I think that his potential is very high. And I think in comparison with Dre, like you just said, Morris is more of a safer pick because you see more of the NFL attributes right now in college than you do with Dre. And because of that, I think he's more of an NFL-ready prospect. And I wouldn't be surprised if, at this point, Claiborne ended up being the first corner off the board because of his ability to play right away, as well as having the same type of potential, if not a little bit less than Dre Kirkpatrick, I guess.
Yeah, and last thing I want to touch on with Claiborne, this guy has athletic ability and natural corner skills that you typically don't see in a 6-foot-plus corner overall. You see the natural change of direction skills, fluidity, balance from some of these smaller guys. When you get these taller guys and these higher-cut guys, they struggle breaking down, getting in and out of their breaks as cleanly. I think Claiborne, you know, it's a plus when you can say he plays like a smaller corner despite being 6 foot and with those long arms.
Absolutely. You know, those long arms, and I know that we talk about it a lot, but that is probably one of his most valuable attributes or measurables that he has right now. With a cornerback, having long arms gives you the ability to jam a receiver at the line, to extend out, make a play on the ball while it's in the air, extend out and make a tackle around the line of scrimmage. More than almost at any other position outside of maybe along the line, long arms for a cornerback are extremely valuable, and that's another thing that I think he has going for him, that once teams really get those measurables on him, like you mentioned at the combine, teams are really going to start to fall in love with him, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt, Sean. Well, that's about it for Draft Talk 8.0 this week. Sean, you want to tell all the listeners where and the many places they can find you throughout the web?
Sure, without a doubt. You know, my site is draftheadquarters.com. You can come take a look at everything. We've got a weekly stock watch updating the mock drafts and player rankings frequently. My 2012 draft preview will be out this spring on April 1st. You can pre-order there. You can find me on Twitter at SeanZobel_DHQ for Draft Headquarters, obviously. And, yeah, just be sure to definitely check out DraftHeadquarters.com.
And, again, if you want to check out Sean, all the links are below. Just click on any of them. You can check out his draft guide, the website, and, of course, him on Twitter. Well, that wraps it up for this week. Draft Talk version 8.0 will be publishing every Tuesday at 7 o'clock Eastern. And have a good week, guys.